You may be seated. The sermon this evening comes from Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 8. Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. For God, whom I serve in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers making requests, if perhaps now, at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, so that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So for my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Pray with me. Our Father, help us now to approach your word and give us clear understanding, that you will be glorified as we think rightly about you and your affection towards us. God, we need you as we have been distracted by many things, as we have speculated and set up vain speculations against your knowledge. So God, wash away everything that is not of you. Cause us to see clearly tonight and strengthen us in accordance with your word tonight. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Deep affection in life is something that we see from time to time, but is often something that evades us. As in our lives, we often distract ourselves with this and that. We even go to films and movies to see lives that don't cost us anything. An investment in other people that doesn't cost us anything. But in our lives, and our lives are meant to be lives of deep affection and deep devotion for one another and for Christ Jesus. Some of the best examples of affection that I've seen recently would be the videos of soldiers coming back from across the sea. And as they come, they set up their children so their children do not know that their father is about to arrive. We've seen situations where children sat in classrooms, and then all of a sudden, when they had no idea, the doors would open up and there stood the child's father. And we see children, their eyes fill with tears and tears run down their faces. They run over and the father drops down and he grabs the child and tears run down the soldier's face. And they embrace and they sob together. This is that picture of the deep affection that you have been shown in Christ Jesus. The affection that is present and the affection that is evident when a child has been separated from a parent, which is what has been done for you in Christ Jesus. God loved you so much that he gave his only son. Well, that affection continues to be evident in the ways that Christ continues to love you. He had stated that he goes to prepare a place for you, and he returns for you. As we are given the description of what will come, the scripture talks about some of us being drawn up to meet him, and us being like him. What a reunion that will be. A people who had been separated from God, and now a people who are joined to him a people who are blessed in Him. Now, some things flow from affection. Strength flows from affection. As we look at the Christian life and the power that's meant to be manifested in the Christian life by the Spirit of God within us, but also from our sense of gratitude from having been loved so deeply. Well, as we look at this section of Romans, we see this Spirit of Christ in the Apostle Paul, where this Spirit in Paul longs for the people to be in their presence. He says he prays continuously that he can come to them to see them strengthened. And this is the heart of Christ for you. That you would meet with him as we do in the assembly. That you would meet with him as you do in your prayer time, in your time of scripture reading. That you would meet with him and you would be strengthened by him. So the call for you tonight is for you to find your power and strength in Christ's affection and from love for one another. Our first step, we look at verse 8. Our first step is look for faith that is seen. Look for faith that is seen. Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Now this is a strong statement, a very strong statement. Can any of us say, or do any of us imagine that our faith as individuals is being proclaimed throughout the whole world? It would be nice to be able to say that. It would be nice to be able to rejoice in that idea. Now, the strange thing is that faith, and the essence of faith, is that hope in what we haven't been able to see. That hope in what is invisible. And yet we see a faith that manifests in ways that are meant to be visible. That as we believe, it so affects us, it affects the ways that we live. But what does faith look like then? Faith is going to look like affection for God and affection for one another. The fulfilling of the two great commandments. And I've been thinking of the commandments like this, that love for God comes down like a white light, and then it hits a prism and it scatters and it flows out to the two tablets of the law. Love for God and love for one another then. And then as it goes through the tablets, it spreads again and it spreads again. And we see through the scripture then, all that love for God and love for another, what that actually looks like in life. And so for those who would want to throw off the law and want to throw off the commandments and say, there is nothing here for us now because we are in Christ, they're missing the pictures of love and exactly what love looks like. Love towards God and love for one another. Love for God looks like keeping His commandments. Love for one another looks like keeping His commandments. And so as we would look at ourselves and we would diagnose ourselves, as we would look and we'd be fruit inspectors in our own lives to see if it is real, to see if our faith is real, we would be looking for those actions in accordance with God's Word. His commandments towards Him, His commandments towards one another. We'll know if our faith is real, if it's bearing fruit. So look for a faith that is seen. our next step. And this is the idea of the affection that Christ continues to have for you. Number two, Jesus Christ continues to love you and be concerned for you. Romans 1, 9 through 11. For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now, at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. We see here that deep love, that deep care, that deep concern. I have often said that I did not know what love really was, or I had never truly loved until I had had children. Up until that point, I had taken advantage of love quite a bit. I enjoyed my parents' love. I enjoyed their kindness. I enjoyed their provision. I enjoyed my grandparents and their kindness and their provision. I would write letters to my grandmother knowing that I would get one in return with $20 in it. It wasn't a pure love. It wasn't a pure affection. It wasn't until God had given me a little squirmy, screaming person that often smelled bad, that never did anything for me in any shape, way, or fashion, and yet I had an affection for this child when I was getting nothing in return. But here we see that Christ has a deep love and a deep concern as we see the Spirit of Christ in Paul. He says again, God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now, at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you. Again, this is that heart of the covenant. That we would be God's people. He would be our God. He would dwell in our midst. We see in Hebrews 7, 25. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him. Since he, and this is Jesus, since Jesus always lives to make intercession for them. Even now, Christ is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. You are on his mind. You are on his lips. For you, he loves you. He prays for you. He cares for you. Now, we come from generations of doubt. We come from quiet generations. My grandfather, I don't remember him before his stroke ever saying that he loved me. Things changed after his stroke. I was talking to a man whose father was a pastor and a strong one. And he was telling me that his father had once told him that he's not sure he could share his faith if he had to. A generation so quiet about their faith. A generation so internal that we can look and that we can doubt. But here in Scripture, we don't see this. We see that God's love for you and his care for you is clearly expressed. His desire, his affection is there. And we are left then to respond to his affection. Our next step is from verse 11. This is Christ would see you strong and equipped. Christ would see you strong and equipped. Romans 1:11. For I long to see you, that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established. As we look at our lives and we would ask what we would want for ourselves, there have been times in my life, and I've told you about these goofball fantasies that I have, that I imagine if I could go back in time and be back in my own body when I was, say, 5 years old. And I think, what would I do? And I imagine, well, I think one of the first things I would do would be take advantage of a trip to the mall, and I would go to the bookstore, and I would try to get a good Bible, and I'd try to find a copy of the Confession and the Catechisms, and I could start reading and studying at that age and think about, wow, wouldn't I be able to be in a better place now? Well, there's so much in my life that I would wish for and long for myself, but then I realize, oh, but I've been put in this place now for my own children. That the things that I didn't have, I can give to them. The equipping that I didn't have, I can give to them. And this is that picture of love. To see one another strengthened and equipped for the work of service. And we see that heart in Christ Jesus for you. That He would see you strengthened. He would see you equipped. And indeed, He does everything to make you specifically that, to make you strong, to make you equipped. He gives you His Spirit. He gives you His Word and all of the other elements in life to chisel you and to make you that. Genesis 18:19, as God is working and forming His church as we know it, God speaks to Abraham and says, "For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." We see the power that he gives to overcome our enemies in Psalm 18:28-29. "For you light my lamp, the Lord my God illumines my darkness. For by you I can run upon a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall." In Psalm 18:32-35, "The God who girds me with strength and makes my way blameless. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and sets me upon the high places. He trains my hands for battle so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand upholds me, and your gentleness makes me great." As David went forth and warred, as he would battle, as he would run upon a troop, as he would fight and he would destroy the enemies of God, our war and our battle and our strength is spoken of in the same way. In Ephesians 6:10, it tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. God would see you strong. He would see you equipped. He would see you strengthened. Ephesians 6:12-13. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm." God works in you, and His desire for you is strength to overcome. In Romans 8:37, it says, "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us." The work of this affection in us makes us mighty. The work of this affection in us makes us overcome that which would destroy us, that which would lead us into shadow. So respond to his affection. Next, we see a way that God continues to work in verse 12. Paul says, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you, while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both yours and mine. This idea of being encouraged, it's the idea of being strengthened together. It's the same reciprocal idea of the one another's, the all alone of Scripture, that you in my life will be making me strong and equipping me. I in your life will be making you strong and equipping you, that we will be marching forth together. Now, in our culture and in our lives, we isolate ourselves. We hide. We hide our sin. We hide our weaknesses. We hide our failures. We hide that the battles are even taking place. This is a scheme of the devil to isolate us and to make us weak. But God has placed us in one another's lives to be mutually strengthened, to be mutually encouraged. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. One of my children asked me, how do you sharpen an axe? And I told him, with a file. Now, if the file is in the toolbox, in the basement, and the axe is in the garage, no sharpening is going to take place. But we must be in one another's lives. We must confess our sins to one another, that we can pray for one another. We must bear our burdens together, that we will indeed be made strong. This is God's will for you, for His church. Our next step is from verse 13. This is the fifth step. Christ desires to meet with you. Romans 1:13. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that often I have planned to come to you and have been prevented so far, so that I may obtain some fruit among you also, even as among the rest of the Gentiles. And again, this is the heart of the covenant. Being in union with God. Leviticus 26:11 and 12. God says, moreover, I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul will not reject you. I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. In Matthew 18:20, it says, for where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. Psalm 22, verse 3, yet you who are holy, O you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel, all of this coming together, showing our interaction and our meeting and our fellowship with Him. In Romans and John 14, 2 and 3, which we touched on earlier, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. Where's Christ? Where is He? Now, even now, He's preparing a place for you. Now, even now, as you are on His mind, as you are on His lips, He makes ready for you. He says in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I remember a time, and I have bizarrely early memories in my mind still. I remember when I was 3 years old and I was being dropped off at a babysitter. And I just, you see how our children here in the congregation, how they bemoan and how they wail and how they cry sometimes. Their hearts are just there. And I was in that place. And I remember wailing and wailing, not wanting my mother to leave. And I said, "Please don't leave." And she said, "I'm coming back." And I said, "No, you're not." And I remember her looking at me and asking, "Do you think I would lie to you?" And it made me step back and realize the reality. Christ has said to you, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself." This is that affection that he has for you. This is that deep care that he has for you. He will come. He will receive you to himself. Revelation 21:3, which we read this morning. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them.'" Would he lie to you? Would he lie to you? No. He is incapable of lying to you, his children. His love for you is pure. It is genuine. It cannot ever be broken. So take this affection. Take this assurance. Take this confidence. And be strengthened. Be equipped. Move forward in this affection. Let's pray. God, our God, we praise you and we love you because you first have loved us. We rest in your arms now. Lord, make us strong. Equip us for the battles ahead and be glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next psalm is...